two-way street. Okay? Love, two-way street. When we've been reading and talking about John 14, what some thoughts that you've gotten out of it, or some truths, or how has it helped you or benefited you? John 14, anybody?
Does it make it more described how much Jesus loves us? Does it like describe it and like,
it made it so practical.
But it's like he's talking to you.
Right.
Like he's sitting down talking to me.
Right.
And pleading. Just believe in me. You don't have to worry. I'm going to hide your body.
Right.
Let me love you.
Right. So let me just read this. What I'm looking at and write this morning. It is true that Father God so loves each person in the world. But everyone doesn't really experience or even believe his love for them personally. Probably because their heart, their love, is set on something else. Maybe one of God's enemies, the world, the system, world system, world's ways, world's inhabitants, the flesh or the devil. In reality, though they wouldn't say that. But our Father, Heavenly Father, tells us here how to have true intimacy with Him. I want you to understand something. God loves every person, but every person doesn't believe it, and every person doesn't experience it. Even Christians, okay, and there's a reason. We're going to read some verses today, and we're going to talk about that, okay? John 4, we're going to start with John, and we're going to do John 14, verse 15. Okay? If you love me, keep my commandments. And he's been talking about his love for us. And now he says, if you love me, he says, 14 verses, I'm loving you, I care about you, I'm preparing for you, I'm going to give you another comforter. In verse 16, he says, I'm going to pray to the Father. I'm going to ask my Father. He said, I'm going to ask my Father. There's always an or. So there's always a submission. There's always an authority. Okay? I will ask my Father, and he shall give. You see, Jesus is like, I've already talked to him. And this is his plan. I'm just letting you know. I'm going to ask my Father. Because everything we receive comes through Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Everything we receive comes through Jesus. It's not God bless America. It's Jesus bless America. Yeah. You understand? It's not I love God. It's which God? I love Jesus. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. Everything that we have, we only get forgiven because we come through the blood of Jesus. We only get our prayers answered because we come through the name of Jesus. Because He is the one who broke down the wall between us and God. Everything that we have is through Jesus. Don't ever forget that. He says, I will pray to the Father, I'm going to ask the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Now, at this time, the Holy Spirit was not living on the earth. But he's talking to his close friends and he says that he's going to give you another comforter, meaning Jesus was a comforter. But now he's going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. I've been telling you that I'm getting ready to go away. With this comforter won't go away. He's going to live with you, remain with you, stay with you, hang out with you, live inside of you forever. And this is coming through Jesus. And he says, and who is it? He is even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world system, the world's ways, the world's inhabitants, people that are after the world. Okay? People that want to live the world's way. They cannot receive because they don't see Him, and they don't know truth that the world cannot receive, because it seeth them not, neither knoweth them. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He dwells with you. He's like, I'm here. And he says the Spirit of God. He said, but he's going to come and live inside of you. That's why in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 3:16, it says, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. God comes to live inside of you. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, he comes to live inside of you. Okay? He says, I will not leave you comfortless. But see, someone has to believe this, because when you're going through hard stuff, we have a tendency to do ABC, look anywhere but Christ. Anything but Christ. We look at the problem, we look at the need, we look at there's nobody around, we look at there's all, you know, all the pain, we look at how people hurt us, we look at everything, but we, when we, and we say, and we get bitter.
We ask why.
And we get bitter. And we get bitter. Because we do not turn to God. But Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. Sometimes there are things in our life that are happening because a lot of times things are happening because of our choices.
Amen.
And there's ways that God wants to help, but we don't allow it. Remember when Jesus said, as a hen gathers her chicks, I sought to gather you and ye would not. There are a number of verses, I can think of three in the scripture, where it says, and ye would not. There's probably more. Meaning, you had a free will and you chose not to enter into what I had for you. Okay? This is very practical for you today. Every person wants to experience the love of God. Every person wants to be loved, to be believed in. You want this, correct?
Yes.
You want to be comforted. You want to be cared for. Now, how often do you feel like you're the only one and nobody cares for you and you're so lonely? Okay? And yet he says, Jesus. Now, does Jesus tell the truth most of the time?
All the time.
Oh, I'm sorry. But what about when our feelings say something different?
Our feelings are liars.
Thank you. Jesus said, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If you only knew how many times my wife whines, because she says to me last night, how come I go to see God? I just want to be with him. And he doesn't show up. And she can. So I'm just listening. And she said, and I said something like to agree with her. She goes, you're talking about he's with you all the time. I said, I live in his presence by faith. I said, I don't feel him all the time. I said, but I choose to believe the truth. And because of that, I practice his presence. Because as I say, no matter what I see, no matter what others are saying, I know he's right here. I say it out loud a lot. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. My son, thou art never with me. You know, he's right here. He's closer than my breath. I say all these things because remember something. Please. John 8:32, you know this, but please hear it different somehow. I don't know how to have you hear it different. It says the truth will set you free. Not jumping up and down in worship will set you free. Not feeling good will set you free. Not having a bunch of people in your church or being in a crowded place where there's a bunch of people for Jesus will make you free. What's going to set you free from lies, one truth. Now remember this. The extent that you want truth is going to determine the depth of knowing or having a relationship with the Holy Spirit or with God. The extent of truth you're willing to see and admit. Because there's things that I can say, I can talk to you and say something, and you get offended. Because it's a truth in your life, but you don't want to hear it yet. We've all been in that place, have we not? I don't want to hear that. That none of it's true. I don't want to hear it from you.
And that's what God says.
But who do you want to hear from? Because, you know, you want to stay in that pot for a long time, but it's boiling. Are you tired? You know? That's right. One more night of the fall.
Just give me one.
One more night. We're out of that desert place. The extent of truth that we're willing to see. How much truth? That's why we need to say, God, no holds barred. There's no room in my life you cannot come and shine the light. I want to see the truth. God, look, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way. It's a wicked way because it's not God's way. If it's my way, if it's the world's way, if it's my version, if it's my feelings, it's wicked because it's not God. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to God and have mercy. I believe that's Isaiah 55:6, I believe it is. If you look it up. But the extent of truth that we're willing to see is going to determine the depth of our deliverance. The depth of the freedom that we're going to experience and the wealth of the relationship that we're going to have with God. Because God is truth. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? We can't walk with them if we're not in agreement with them. He's going, I'm going this way. And you're like, yeah, but I'm going this way. I want you to go. And you're like, He says, Harvey, God doesn't say this, but he says, Harvey would say, how does that work for you? Okay. He says, no, I'm not going to say that because I'm God. I don't talk like that. I'm not smart. He's like, but I'm over here. And when you want me, you can come to me. He says, I'm not leaving you. He says, you're leaving me. Love is a two-way street. Do you remember when you were a teenager and you had a crush on somebody, but they didn't know you were alive? You remember? You loved somebody, but they loved somebody else. Do you remember that? Love is a two-way street. And I've told this to so many people. It takes two people to build a marriage or a relationship, but one can destroy it. We have people that it seems like they're building a relationship with them, and then, I don't know what happened. They just changed. They got something. They went, now we're not going to talk. Don't want to talk. Want to hear anything? We keep calling ourselves, asking, what? Just read the verse in 1 John 2 where it says, they went out from us because they were not of us. I believe it's verse 23. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Because they were not of us, they left us. They went their way. I don't remember exactly. I haven't memorized some visuals. That's the only way to go out of it. Love is a two-way street. Love, God never gives up on us. That's why there's people that get saved on their deathbed. People that have But on his deathbed, I think a day before he left this earth, he ended up meeting God. God doesn't ever give up on us. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, God is not willing that any should perish. He said, well, I went to a retreat, were to go to hell, and there was nothing you could do about it. I should have my camera now.
Oh, there we go. This thing.
He went. Because he's not going to be all good. 2, when we love him, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. When you love somebody, you care about what they think and feel. Because if it's just about self-love, where we've all lived most of our lives, it's about what I think, what I feel, what I want. And so we love ourselves, we find ourselves being selfish, more than others might did. And we care about us, and it's not, we're not thinking about, oh Sue, it's hard for you to get up and, you know, you're having a pain in your leg, you're howling, you know, so let me go get that for you. It's like, oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but just let her do it. No. It's like, can I do that for you? And she won't let me all the time, but what I'm saying is sometimes she will because she's in pain. It's caring about another. Love always has an object. And love is caring about another. So if you love me, keep my commandments, how about what pleases him? His ways are perfect. Is that right?
Yes.
I think, isn't it Psalm 19, 7 through 11, it says the ways of the Lord are perfect. Isn't that also in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5? No, every word of God is pure. That's just where every word of God is pure. Okay. But Psalm 19, 7 through 11, that song in Psalms, is caring about him and what he, how he feels. And his ways are perfect. And if we care about him, we're going to want to honor his ways. That means we have to give up our ways to enter into his ways. What's the third thing? If you love me, keep my commandments. We want to experience more of the love of God.
Yes.
God is love, correct? And love has an object.
Yes.
But when we pour our love out on God, guess what he does? He does get ministered to by that, but it seems like he always turns our focus onto others. Doesn't he? Because you love me, I want you to help this person. Out of love for me, I want you to meet this person's need. It might be giving them money, it might be giving them a sandwich, it might be giving them a hug, it might be giving them a word of encouragement. But it's allowing God's love to flow through you to help another. Do you know, if I go a day where I don't get to witness to somebody or pray for somebody, it is not a good day. I don't care what happened that day. If I don't get to hug somebody, pray for somebody, witness to somebody, if I don't get... See, I become a dead sea. I've got this love in me, but I'm not letting it flow. Now, remember, faith is an action word. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Faith is moving on what God has told you. Faith is moving on what God has told you. You believe in it because of that you move. So God wants to love others. He wants to minister to others through us. It doesn't have to be the brother making sandwiches for people. He saw the need, prayed for them. God moved on him and said, like he said to the disciples, why don't you feed them? And he's like, how do I do that? And God gave him an idea. I've never heard of anybody else doing that. That's just God. And him hearing it and moving with God. So he gets to experience the love of God more. Remember, we're in a ping pong game with God. He loves us So the brother goes, he loves me. I love him. And God says, I want to give you a job. And he goes, thank you. And then he says, I'm going to help you pay off all your bills through this and continue to have a job. And he goes, thank you so much. And then God's like, now I'm going to give you a ministry. And he's like, thank you. And he's like, you see all these people. And he's like, I'm the boss. And he's like, yes. And he's like, so what am I supposed to do? And God's like, I'll let you know. And when God lets him know, he cooperates because it's a ping pong game with God. All he's doing is keeping his focus on him. My focus is presence. I just want your face, Jesus. I want to behold your face. I want to hang out with you. I want, at any moment, I know you're right here. At any moment, I want to be able to glance up and see you smiling with my choices, with my words, with every conversation that I've had. I wanted to honor Jesus. And then when you do something that doesn't honor him, you don't sense his love. You don't sense his presence. It's not because he's mad at you. It's because he can't be part of what you just did. The Bible says that we grieve him. He doesn't get mad at us. He starts crying. He gets grieved. He gets brokenhearted. You're not only hurting him, and you're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting other people that he loves. And you're putting stumbling stones in the way for them to come to God. You understand? I'm not saying you, I'm saying we. I don't mean to make it sound like you, like I don't do it because I do it every day, and I don't want to. That's what we gotta confess. Mess up, fess up. Immediately. And then thank him. Jesus, I'm so sorry. Thank you for forgiving me. And he's like, smiling again. Because that truth of knowing that will set you free. And you will begin to experience his love more. You will begin to live in his love more. You will abide in his love more. Anybody have anything they want to say? Good. Okay.
I'll say something. It's like good.
But it was like, go ahead. And okay. Was
really, John 14:16, with the word another stuff. See, I'll give you another comforter. And then God's like, okay, what does another mean? In addition to. So Jesus isn't saying, hey, I'm out of here. He's like, I'm not, you're only not only going to have me with you all the time, but I'm going to have somebody else too.
That's right.
And that's what's saying.
I want to just read this to you, okay? Jesus lived his life in obedience to Father God out of the wealth of relationship that he had with him. He didn't live his life in obedience out of obligation. He lived his life in obedience to Father God out of the deep and rich relationship that they developed as he walked with him. Want to do what my father's about. I have to be about my father's business, he said as a child to his parents. I only want to say what he's saying. I just want to live that smile. I want to live in the truth of his presence, the reality of living in his presence.
Yes. That's exactly why Jesus takes the time.
I'm old. It's easy. You have to miss the ball, but I'm old. We learn in our life, like what she said, we come to Jesus as a mess. Don't we have all kinds of stinking thinking? Don't we have all kinds of issues and things and hurts and all kinds of things in our life? And Jesus was like, I'm going to deal with every one of them. And I'm not in a hurry. I'm not going to put pressure on you. And he's like, well, we're going to deal with those things one at a time. Because it's like, have you ever fallen into a picker bush? Or got stung by a bunch of yellow jackets or bees or wasps multiple times or something? Well, if you fall in a picker bush, I'm not recommending it. It hurts, okay? And there's a whole lot of pickers in you. Who was that? Jamie? Jamie fell into a thorn bush or something. And she came in and she was crying. And in the top of her head was this big, thick thorn stuck in her head and broken off. And I had to take a pin. I had to take a pin and stick in it and pry it out. And it, I mean, we're talking about, it was like that deep, you know what I mean? Stuck right in her head and broken off. And at first we couldn't see what she cried about. You know what I mean? Because it was broken off. But it was a sticker, a thorn bush branch thing that was stuck in her head. And I had to take a pen and keep picking at it till I could get a hold of it and pull it out. Okay. I fall in a picker bush and then have my mom, probably my mom, take tweezers and pull them out. And you think you got them all, you didn't get them all yet, you know, and so you turn, and now you're all, you know, oversensitive, you know what I mean? You're probably not, but I am, okay, I'm not, I just don't like pain at all. Okay. That's about this little pain. I'm like nervous in pain, you know what I mean? I do not like pain, super oversensitive, you know, hyperactive. Okay, and so it's not good. But you get a bunch of those. But Jesus finds having fallen into the picker bush of this world, and we've got all kinds of pains. And he's like, I want to get them all out. And if you cooperate, the more you cooperate, the quicker I can remove more of them. But it's a process. And he's like, I am dedicated to you for the rest of your life. And I'm going to get all this wicker work. Now, I'm going to take you out of the rowboat. That's going to be you and me. Because I can't do it with a bunch of people around. You know what I mean? It's not this. He's like, I got to get you. He's like, I can do it, but it takes longer. And you're going to get hurt more. And so we need to set aside that time. But it's up to us as to what kind of, how much of his love do we want to experience? If you just want to say, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible tells me so, that's great. But if you want to go deeper, then start getting in the Bible. In the morning, because you're spending time with Jesus, and you start getting this truth, start setting you more and more free. Some of those things come out without him having to take the tweezers and get them out, just by hanging out more with them and learning so much and believing what he says and getting to know him, because you quit thinking he's like somebody else. There is none like him. When he says, I love you and I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he means it. Whereas people have said that and they don't mean it. And people have left us. You know what I'm saying? said about your mother.
She loved him back at retirement.
Yeah.
And we let him keep his commandments.
Yeah. What were the 3 points? There were 3 things that said. One was, as we love him, we do a ping pong game with him. As we love him, he loves us. And we love him more than he loves us. And he keeps getting deeper and richer. And then I said about keeping his commandments.
Care about
what he thinks, feels, or him. Everything we do should be to honor him. If we just vent in the flesh or our feelings, and we say and do things that we look at later and go, I shouldn't have done that. You're going to have all those feelings, but you need to not do them publicly. You need to take them to God. Because to be honest, other people don't care about you. They're not going to look past it and go, oh, poor you. They're going to see all that you have inside of you that only God will love you in spite of. Others are going to judge you and think bad about you when you do that. And you dishonor him. And you dishonor yourself. Do we not?
Yes.
But we all have those things. And as soon as we mess up, come to him. I messed up. I mean, as quick as it goes to you, come to him. Jesus, I did it again. And he said, it's okay. It hasn't been 490 times yet. Today. It's okay. He said, you may be getting up there, but you haven't gotten 490 yet. He said, if you get there, we'll go a little. I'll give you a few more. Okay. Do you understand?
Right.
He never gives up on us. There was someone on the BTA. Jesus lived his life in obedience to Father God out of the wealth of relationship, a deep and rich relationship that he had with them. He didn't live a life of obedience out of obligation. And Jesus simply asked us to do the same. He said the same way. And it's going to happen out of having a deep relationship with them. Now I want to throw a parent, I want to throw this here. I put stars by this one. He invites us into the process of receiving and giving love, ping pong game, as the foundation of our life. So our whole foundation is based on the depth of our relationship with Him. He invites us in this process that we might abide in the depth of relationship with our Heavenly Father as He did. Our God doesn't call us to a lifestyle of obligation or undesired sacrifice, but a lifestyle in which we reciprocate or give back from that vast love that we have been shown in Christ. God doesn't merely set rules before us, but relationship as the goal. Now I want to say something to you. In parentheses, as Bernie Bush people, I want you to understand something. Because God has to keep bringing this back to me. I say, Lord, I would like us to grow. And He said, you have who I want you to have. And I'm like, He's like, you keep reaching out every day. How many of us witnessed it? How many people? And they love what they get. But this isn't where God has for them. And whatever's going on out there, it's easy to look and say, they have so many people, they don't seem happy. I went to a brother's church, and they had these signs about different things they're doing with the kids, going over here. this trip and whatever. And it was like, and I'm reading this bulletin or something, and it was like, oh, and people were coming and going when I was there. That I was a church of 400 or whatever, something like that. But still, I'm like, Lord, I would love to have all this. I've been here before. You know what I mean? I've been in churches where we had all this. You know, I love being. And he said, Harvey, that's not what I called you to now. Why did I bring that up? Because this depth of relationship where he's trying to take us. And here's what he said to me. Because the brother said, I'm going to have you come speak at my church. So I start praying about going to speak at a church of 400 people. And I started getting all focused on that. And I said, wait a minute, I don't want to focus on that. I'm not trying to put something together here. God wants me to go, he'll let me know. You know, I don't need to premeditate. The Holy Spirit will tell me that day when they bring me before them. The ruler says that, you know, it talks about. And he said, Herb, you remember when you had all, remember when you were in churches with a whole bunch of people? He said, do you remember how busy you were? Do you remember how much time they took, like you were talking about? Remember how much activity and distraction? He said, where I'm taking you and taking the people that are with you, I'm taking them into something. If anybody can remember back to the first building, when God said, I am going to build a foundation here that's going to take a long time because we are going to have to build real deep and real broad because what I want to build on here has to have that kind of foundation. And the foundation is a relationship. It all comes back to relationship in Him. And if the shallower our relationship, the less He can build on us. You know, the less he can reach through us. He doesn't want to use us. He said, Marty, I got all kinds of people that keep telling me they want to come here. When we had that meeting the other night, the party, whatever you call it, I had several of the men say they want to come to our church. And they pastor. Some of them even pastor churches. But they want to come to our church. I'm like, why? And they said, I'm going to come. Expecting one couple of days when they had all these kids, you know? Because they said they want to come. And yet, God is saying, and has to keep reminding me, Harvey, I'm doing something with y'all. I want to take you into the depth, a deep place of relationship with me. Have you ever read the Old Testament? Have you ever read where when they had before the temple, what was that thing called? Tabernacle? Remember the tabernacle? Was there a lot of priests? Weren't they busy doing a lot of things? And doesn't like the book Leviticus talk about that and all these things they had to do and the labor, the showbread, the altar, all these things that was set up. How much time do you think it took and how much to set up all the tabernacle and do it all the way God said to do it and make all these things and keep them as they moved, you know, a cloud by day and fire by night. They had to follow and then he stops and then they have to pitch. Tense. It was a lot of work. Well, God told me a long time ago, He said those were the outer court ministers. But do you know how many went into the inner court? Does anybody know?
One.
The high priest entered in once into the holy place. A year. Once a year. But I remember back in the 1,000 men in that place. So all the pastor, assistant pastor stay here. All the other pastors and everybody leave. And his assistant pastor got up to talk to us from that big church. And I don't know what he talked about. I don't even know what God talked to me about. And you've heard me talk about it before, Joshua 1:1. Joshua ministered to Moses. It says, but Moses ministered to God. Joshua served and met the needs of Moses. But Moses served and met the needs of God. God's doing something in you here. As I was praying this week, I thought like he told me to say this, so I'm going to say it. If you're looking for something else, if you've got what you need, if you feel like the grass is greener somewhere else, if you are looking for something that other churches have, I don't blame you. You are free to leave anytime you want. But God has made it very clear to me, Harvey, that's not what I have for you at this season. And those that stay with you, it's not for them at this season. He said, those things are coming. And it's been a long time. And he says, you know, I can't tell you when it's going to happen. And sometimes I'm just like you. Sometimes I say to God, God, is it ever going to happen? And I feel like my life is just wasting away. And all I am is getting older and fatter and moving less, you know, and saying, Lord. And he's like, when I told you, asked you about giving me a gift of waiting, and you said, but God, that verse says nobody's ever given it to you. He said, why do you think? He said, because it's hard on your flesh. It's hard when you're looking around. It's hard when you're thinking what you want all this excitement and you want all these things. And there is no problem. If you want to go somewhere else, I want you to know, I understand, God bless you. And I've said that hundreds of times to hundreds of people that have come through our doors. We're not trying to hold anybody. But those of you that God's called here, I want to remind you, God's wanting to do a deep, rich relationship with you. He's wanting to break off all the things of the world, all the ways of religion that are not of Him. And when we watch TV, and when we look at and talk to other people, or we go visit other churches or go to meetings, dude, I have a hard time because I go every Wednesday, I feel like God wants me to go there, and then I have to struggle because I went there because of what it does in me of all these other pastors and their works. We have to have two services now because we can't even get all the people in one. I'm like, God, I've been there. And he's like, but that's not where I have you right now. And I'm just letting you know that when you're distracted, when you have all this activity, it's harder to get alone. It's harder to take the time to sit under the tree and just sit there for a while and just look without talking as you're hanging out with the Father. Because we get people that are clamoring for your attention. Jesus had it. And you'll read where it says that Jesus took his men and he went aside. It says he took them apart. Okay? I don't think you mean picked up like a chicken bone. Take them apart, you know, put them back together with that. Take her toys, you know. But the arm goes, he might go, the left goes there.
The ankle bone.
Yeah. He's like, does he have that in this? Said earlier, and what I saw experienced, or what's that word I want to say, practiced in front of me by pastors, was never trying to hold on to everybody. And I saw pastors, and I hear them. I just had one here Thursday night, almost at the point of tears, him and his wife talking about a couple. But we poured so much of our life into them. And all these people that have been burning bush, people that were with us for 10 years or whatever, they just flashed through my eyes. People that we've married, people that we've helped financially, people that we've, whatever. And God had to teach me. And it had to be God, because I'm one of those one. You know what I mean? But God had to teach me a long time ago. And I said to him, one of the things that I said to him, first I hugged him, you know. And then I said to him, I said, are they his or are they yours? Are you building Jesus' ministry or? See, lights went off. I could see. Because this isn't the first time I've heard him say it. He mentioned it in our prayer meetings with the other pastors. And God had to help me say, Harvey, you're helping them where you can help them. He said, there's people, he said, Harvey, every day there's people that go to hell. He said, I have to let people make their own free will. They have stickers in them. You got some of them out. But they're motivated by those things. Like wearing the feelings on their sleeve. It's because you touch that sticker. And they don't want to, you know. And I'm not perfect or anything. So I mean, I can do things and it's Harvey's fault. Please forgive me. I go to them and I do what I can, but he said, you have to let people make their own choices. He said, you got to look at them as seasonal. You're going to help them. You're going to pour into them. You're going to, whatever. In fact, we're coming back to our message here. If you love me, keep my commandments. Romans 8:14, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are like God. They are related to God. What is God telling me to do with this person? Sometimes people have come and other people in the church come and say, Pastor, you need to this and you need to that with that person to help them. I pray God's not telling me to do that. You got to remember these truths. A need, because you see a need, doesn't mean God called you to meet it.
Amen.
You can pray for that need. God, I do all this type. I see needs every day, and I pray. God, do you want me to? And he's like, no. Give it to me.
That's basically what I was earlier.
Oh, I know. And that's the thing, is we love them. We don't ever give up on them. We're here when they come back. I can think of one family that has come back at least a half a dozen times since we started this. And every time they come back, they act like they didn't talk about us and they didn't do up. And I don't bring up all those things. I know what they did. And I know how they acted. And I know how mean they were and whatever. And every time they come back, I act like I am so glad. Because I am.
That's because of what would Jesus
do? I want to be Jesus to them. I'm his representative. What would make him smile? When I see them, I have to pray. God, deal in my heart. Sometimes. And often, he's worked in me so much that that often I find I don't have to do that, and I find myself loving them, and I'm like, how am I loving them? God, would they? And it's like I don't need people to pain. He took the sacred out. And I don't have pain. Because I've learned how to, so that I'm not living in like a repent cushion. You know what I mean? Does this help anybody? Is anybody getting anything out of this? Does this make sense or bear witness inside of you?
Yes.
Can you see that Jesus is about this long-term picture about our whole life, and he cares about every little of those things, but he doesn't want us to live like that because then it's like where our feelings are, our sleeve, that's what that's about. And focus has got to be on him. We've got to have this deep relationship with him. And it's not just about doing stuff. Do you remember when we had the last building? And we were close to 100 people, and he says, get rid of the building. And I'm like, Lord, what about all these people? And he said, they don't belong here. They don't belong with you. He said, they're not in oneness with what I'm doing. I'm like, Lord, he said, you're doing what you're supposed to. He said, but they're hurt. He said, when we leave this building, this one I got, he didn't say these words, but I got it after we left the building. He said, when we leave this building, it'll make it less comfortable for them. And then they'll go find where I want them to be. But as long as you're making it comfortable for them, they come here and they get loved or they get whatever. But they're not willing to go with what I have for them. Some other place. And he says, you're going to get distracted. Remember I told you about walking into Walmart and the guy says, see that guy over there? And I went over there and started witnessing to him. Remember he had Hellfighters written on his pants. And I started witnessing to him and 25, after a little bit, God says, look around. And 20 or 25 people were gathered all around us. I could reach out and touch almost. 25 people. And God said, take him outside. Because I'm dealing with him, and if you stay in here, you're going to get distracted with these other 25 trying to reach them. And I'm not dealing with them right now. I'm dealing with them. Do you understand? We can't be distracted. My focus, his presence. I have somewhat against it because how I slept that first love. Now, I'm not saying this. I'm saying it. I'm just quoting Revelation. And God says, I have someone against you because you left your first love. He said, you took your focus off of me. Peter, you're sinking in the water because you took your focus off of me. You got distracted. And you got worried and you quit trusting in me. And yet here you are walking on the water. But now you're sinking. He says, but I'm not disappointed. Lord, help me. Gotcha, Peter. You're in the boat. You're all safe again. He didn't bring it up again. I am bringing it up. Because this is our life. And this has been sustained. We're like in sustained animation. Suspended animation. You know what I mean? We're like, this is like a long trek we're going on. And if this is not, anytime you feel like you need to go somewhere else, you want to come, you're fine. We're not bad or disappointed. If you want to come back down the road, when God starts, God's already shown me, when God starts doing what he's going to do, there's people that are going to come back and think they're going to be part of it. He's going to say they can't be part of it because they didn't get prepared for what I wanted to do. They weren't willing to go through the preparation. They can't be part of the flow, you know? That they're going to want to. They think they're out there being ministers. Maybe nobody you know, but just people I know, okay? I'm just saying, keep your focus on him. It's all about a real relationship. It's a two-way street of this love with God. I love that idea of the ping pong game. I love you. Yeah, I love you. Oh, I love you. Two, I love you. Three, I love you. Four, I love you more. I love Yeah. Should I have little kids come up and hug me and tell me they love me? Like Sahara, your little cuddle bucket. And I just tell her, I love you first. You know? I love that. I want you to read John 14, 15 through 24. And if you really, it's really only 15, 21, 23, 24. There's only four verses.
Yeah.
I dare you to read that this week. Just those four verses. And hopefully you took notes about ping pong with God. Hopefully you took notes about the 3 points. One was ping pong with God. What was the other two? One was...
Keep my commandments.
Yeah, keep my commandments, but what did I say about it?
Care about what God thinks.
Care about what God thinks.
Honor Him.
And honor Him. What was the third thing?
Love others.
Huh?
Love others.
Okay.
Third one.
Letting God, cooperating with how God wants to flow through you. Okay. And it'll all be together, so yes. But cooperate with whatever it is God gives you. And don't worry about what He doesn't give you. I pray all the time, God doesn't want to do something. And He's like, no. And you know what? God doesn't use people. And I get used up when tough guys. And then sometimes I feel guilty because all these other pastors are talking about, now they're full-time pastors. I'm not. And then they talk about all these things that they do. And extra things, going to this meeting and that meeting and going on Christian bike rides and camping trips. And it's like, I would love to do that. And then I pray and God's like, Harvey, I'm not using you. I have you doing tough things. He's like, you need rest. You need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of your wife. You've got some grandkids and people that need to be taken care of. You see what I'm saying? He's like, don't worry about what everybody else. That's not what I called you. This is a real personal relationship. This is you and Jesus. You're spending 3.5 years with Jesus. And He's dealing with you one-on-one, isn't He?
Yes.
Is there any way to improve on that? Is there?